Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moon in. You all right? I trust you are. I hope that you are. Me, yeah, I'm all right. It has just ticked past, just that moment on my clock anyway, just that instant, ticked past 8 a.m. British Summer Time. On Wednesday, it's now Wednesday, the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I am joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, all good.
Cool. I could hear him that time, great. And you are, of course, the main event. The glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, thank you for joining me. Pardon me. For he who listens to my breakfast show this morning shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, today shall gentle his condition, and men of England now abed shall think themselves accursed that they were not here. Anyway, that's quite enough of that. I didn't plan to say that, it just came out. All right, shall we just have a look at the corporate mainstream media, what they're banging on about this morning? All right, what have we got? That evil cabal of Fleet Street editors. We want to tell you what is and isn't important. All right, Trump tells UK to go get your own oil. Oh. And King sent to US. Okay, so it's all over the papers. We got The Guardian first. The Guardian. Whenever this BBC website puts The Guardian first, it's always like, oh, give me a moment to ease into the show. Come on. It's still early. Anyway, The Guardian. It's all over the papers that Trump says, get your own oil. And I want to have a look at the actual Truth Social post he did, because it's a bit more than that. It's not as straightforward as just get your own oil, bro, sort of thing. So it's slightly more nuanced what he actually said than that, but that's what they go with for the headlines. And in fact, yesterday I had a super chat from someone, I believe they were called Angry Yank, and I was a bit dismissive, but it was a fair point, to be honest. And I'll paraphrase Angry Yank, but they said, you know, it's a bit rich for Britain to just, because I said, we'll get our crude from America. America's a net exporter of crude. We'll just get our crude from America. And he was like, well, it's a bit rich to just rely on that when you're not prepared to actually fight in the Persian Gulf. I was a bit dismissive. I was like, you know, you're a net exporter, dude. Like, what do you want? You need to sell it. What's the problem? But he has sort of got a point. Trump has sort of got a point. But also, it's not entirely fair, is it? I don't think, from our point of view. Well, let's have a look at the actual Truth Social. What did he actually say before we look at loads of headlines where Trump just says, get your own oil? What did he actually say? All right. This is the whole post. I'll read it. He said, all of those countries that can't get jet fuel, because crude, there's loads of cuts of a barrel of crude oil. Everything from the sludge that runs massive tankers, massive ships, all the way up to like naphtha. There's loads of different, anyway, jet fuel is obviously one of those. Right? Okay. So all the countries who can't get jet fuel because of the Straits of Hormuz, I mean, it was something you unilaterally decided to do. We weren't invited to the table on it. I mean, you did it, though. Come on, let's be fair. Because of the Straits of Hormuz? You mean because of what you did in the Straits of Hormuz? Like, Keir Starmer found out about it on the news, like everyone else that Saturday morning. All right. Because of the Straits of Hormuz, like the United Kingdom, singling us out, we're supposed to be busy mates. We're supposed to be best of friends. The first ally, the special relationship. But you're singling us out again. All right. Like the United Kingdom, which refused to get involved in the decapitation of Iran. We weren't ready. I mean, sorry, and that's not a sarcastic sorry, genuinely, sorry, shame on us, truly, we weren't ready. Our Navy is in a completely terrible state, and that's on us, but we weren't ready. You know, again, it's on us, but don't ask us for an aircraft carrier when we didn't have one seaworthy. Okay. Who refused to get involved. I have a suggestion for you. Number one, buy from the US. We have plenty. There you go. That's what I was saying to Angry Yank, basically. It's like, okay. So where the headlines say, get your own oil, he's not saying, you won't be able to get your own oil. Bad luck. Hard cheese, old boy. No, he's saying, buy it from us, though. But you can still buy it from us, and do. We're a net exporter. We need to sell it. So buy it from us. And we will. We almost certainly will. Right? It's a no-brainer. Yeah, we will. We will do that. Buy from the US. We have plenty. Good stuff. And number two, build up some delayed courage. Oof. Go to the Strait and just take it. Oh. Or just steal the natural resources of Iran. I don't see many US Navy ships running the gauntlet of the Straits of Hormuz at the moment. Okay, just take it. You'll have to start learning how to fight for yourself. I mean, fair point. I mean, it's a bit annoying to the British ear, but it's a fair point, isn't it? I mean, it is, yeah. As I said, it is a shame, an embarrassment, that our Navy is so lame at the moment. So it's frustrating and annoying to hear, but he's not wrong. You have to learn to fight for yourself. I mean, yeah. The USA won't be there to help you anymore. We're not allies anymore. Almost. I mean, it's not what he's saying, is it? But if he was uncharitable, that's what you could read into that. Just like you weren't there for us. Don't be weak, dude. That's a bit weak. That's a bit playground. Oh, you did that, so I'm going to do that. Come on. Come on. We won't help you anymore, just like you weren't there for us. We haven't been there for each other a number of times over the decades since World War II. Both ways. Both ways. Yeah. Both ways. All right. Iran has been essentially decimated. Well, they are still firing quite a lot of ordnance into their neighbouring countries. So, again, I don't see many US ships actually running the Straits of Hormuz at this moment. They may be very close to being completely collapsed, who knows? They may probably are, actually, but at this exact moment, on the morning of the 1st of April, I wouldn't fancy, you know, sailing a small ship through the Straits of Hormuz, just hoping nothing falls out of the sky from the Iranian side. The hard part is done. Well, if you say so, I mean, okay. Go get your own oil. President Donald J. Trump. Okay, for me, the key point about all of that is where he says, buy from us, or buy from the US. It's like, okay, yeah, so we won't run out of crude then, hopefully. Well, definitely, pretty much. So he's not saying, you're cut off from the Straits of Hormuz, and we're not going to sell to you anymore, and you're screwed, totally screwed now. No, it's just, buy it from us. It's like, we almost certainly will then. Thank you. Until we get our North Sea oil drilling back up and running. So, okay, that's the full post. Because I thought I'd read it out just because, you know, the papers just only do a tiny bit of it, right? And they give you a different impression of what he actually said. They just keep running with, Trump says, get your own oil. It's more than that, isn't it? He does say that. He literally says, go get your own oil. Okay, he does say that. But there's more to that statement, isn't there? A fair bit more. Key bit is, you can still buy it from us, and we want you to still buy it from us. All right. Okay. So just bear that in mind when we're looking at the headlines. Go get your the Guardian. Go get your own oil, Trump tells UK in outburst against allies. See, if you just read that, it would be like, if you don't send your navy to the Straits of Hormuz and steal oil from Iran, then you can't have any oil. You could read that into it, couldn't you? But that's not what's going on exactly, is it? That's not... All right. France stops Israeli flying weapons in its airspace in latest EU pushback. That's funny, I thought Macron was really hawkish on this whole thing. He's changed his tune, hasn't he, really? Presidential elections in France, I think next year. He surely lose, Macron. That's a building, I believe, in Beirut being blown up by the Israelis, I believe. All right, The Express, it's a good paper. Farage, pardon me, Farage says, Labour has no migrant plan B, it's ludicrous. Yeah, have you got a plan B, Nige? Have you, though? Sure, plan B. Don't hear you talking about putting the Royal Marines, the SBS, in the channel. What's your plan, really? You got a fleshed out plan? Okay. Angry president lashes out at allies again as Europe's fuel supplies dry up. Trump tells UK to go get your own oil. Okay, they're nearly all running with that. The Times, the venerable Times. Children incentivised to get ADHD and autism diagnoses. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want to be too harsh. I don't want to really annoy anyone in the audience that's genuinely got ADHD or autism. But when I was a kid, and when people older than me, when they were young, you were just a little bit weird. Well, you didn't have autism. You didn't have ADHD. You were just a little bit weird. You're probably higher functioning, actually. You're just a bit of a nerd. Like lots of people I know now, or a fair few people, younger people, Zoomers and below, they say they've got autism. It's like to me, anyway, just to me, it's been overdiagnosed. It's like real autism is when you're mentally disabled and like they have to put a crash helmet on you when you go to sleep, or not even when you go to sleep, and you have to be kept an eye on at all times because you might just start hurting people or yourself. Like, and you can't hold a conversation. That's proper autism. If you're just a little bit higher functioning, a little bit weird and a little bit awkward, is that really, like, autism? I guess it's on the spectrum, but... it's not autism as I knew it growing up. Maybe it is, but I just feel like it's slightly overdiagnosed. Like ADHD. Or like nearly all boys have got ADHD or whatever. Like a 10, 12-year-old boy, like, finds it difficult to sit down and sit still in school. Now, that's being a normal little kid. That's being a normal boy. You want to go out and run around and play football all day and just sitting there for hours on end, completely attentively listening to a teacher. It's difficult for most boys. Right, so just... they all got ADHD? No, is it just, like, is it the human condition of being... not just boys, girls as well, but more often boys... no, it's just the condition of being like a 10, 12-year-old boy. You've got way too much energy. And you're not predisposed towards sitting down and listening completely obediently. All right, I mean, that's just me. Spy suspect MP wife, quote, was all over senior naval officer. Do you remember a week or two ago it broke a story that there's a Labour MP, what was it, Joni something, what was it? Joni Reid. A Labour MP, her husband, I think I called him Mr. Potato Head. He had a slightly Mr. Potato Head head. That's rich coming from me, isn't it? Anyway, he looks like he's been arrested and he's like going to go on trial, I believe, for being an actual Chinese spy. Well, the story there is, and she said, oh, I had nothing to do. It was a complete shock to me. Couldn't believe it. I had no idea. Story there saying that like a year ago or so, a while ago, a little while ago, a year or two ago, She was up at the Fastlane base. Anyone who's foreign who might not know, the British nuclear submarines, their base is up in Scotland at a place called Fastlane. And it's like, you know, one of the most sensitive military places on the whole of the islands, if not the most sensitive place. Come on. Yeah, yeah. And she went up there as her capacity as like an MP, because she was on, what the was it, the Armed Forces Paramilitary Scheme. Something like that, something like that. Parliamentary, that's not right. I can barely read it, it's so small. But anyway, she was on some sort of proper parliamentary body to sort of formally go and visit there. And apparently, the story is there, something about how she was flirting with or just acting inappropriately in some manner or other with one of the senior officers of the submarines. Like, so much so... So much so that she was, like, removed from that body, that Armed Forces Parliamentary Scheme body thing. If there's anything there, whether she just had a couple too many drinks and just forgot herself a bit, or whether it was something to do with she was trying to get sensitive information out of a senior naval officer, nuclear submarine officer, in order to pass it on to her husband, who would pass it on to the Chinese. Don't know. Of course, don't know. But... You might be able to speculate. You might want to speculate on that. Might not, of course. I'm not formally accusing Joni Reid MP of such a thing. She'd probably take me to court. But that's the suggestion that might have been going on. All right, well, okay. All right. Get your own oil, Trump tells Britain. President says, show some courage. Cost of filling car passes £100. Depends on the size of the engine, doesn't it, and whether you're using petrol or diesel, but all right. Bit of a sweeping statement there. UK sends more soldiers. Yeah, we're sending a few more soldiers to the... Only a few more. Not thousands or tens of thousands like the Americans, but... It passes £100. As I said yesterday, only about £100... Sorry, only about £10 more than it was, though. So it's already quite expensive, right? Relatively expensive. Compared to other places in the world. In general, in the US, gas is way cheaper just to begin with. If it's diesel in Britain, it's more like £20 more than it was already. Okay, all right. It's expensive to fill up your car, one way or another. The metro, ooh, metro. Ooh. Don't want that. Horrible, horrible. Get your own oil, Trump tells UK and allies. I started it, you finish it. I mean, again, it's not exactly what you're saying. There's an element of that to it, but it's not really what you're saying, is it? But, okay. President's new swipe at Britain, but he's looking forward to a terrific visit with Charles. That's the other thing. They've decided, because they were umming and ahhing, weren't they, about whether they're going to send Prince Charles... False of habit, sorry. 40-odd years, false of habit. King Charles III. They were umming and ahhing, the British establishment, where they were going to send him over there for, like, the 250th anniversary celebrations in the United States this summer. They've decided they are. He is going to. And Trump's always got on with the royal family. He really likes them. So, good, I suppose. The last little remnant, the last thread of the special relationship, for what that's been worth. Has it been worth much ever since, like, Korea in the 1950s? The special relationship. There's no special relationship between Trump and Starmer, is there? None. No. I'm pretty sure their real, real, real inside feeling is that they hate each other. I'm sure they do. Trump probably thinks of Starmer as some weakling little pissant. Don't he? Come on. And I think Starmer thinks of Trump as like some big meathead idiot fascist or something, didn't he? Probably. They probably hate each other, like, deep, deep down, for real. Okay. All right. I started it, you finish it. I mean, it's not exactly what it is, but I thought of an analogy where it's like, this is from the Americans. Think of this. Try and think of it from our point of view, right? Imagine you're walking down the street with your best, someone who's supposed to be your best friend, right? You're just walking down the street. On the other side of the road are like some dodgy looking gangster dudes. right? Your best mate, without saying anything to you, just pulls out a gun and starts shooting at them. And they start shooting back. Then your mate goes to you, quick, give me your gun. Quick, start shooting back, give me your gun. And you're like, I haven't got a gun. I didn't bring a gun. I didn't know we were going to be in a gunfight. Like, you, what do you mean? I haven't got a gun. Well, I've got a gun, but it's at home and it's in bits. And he goes, fine, didn't need your gun anyway. It's a crap gun anyway. You're like, what? What? That's sort of what it feels like for Brits. It's sort of exactly that. It's like, what? But something like that. Okay, the Financial Times. Another plane, Trump Library plane reveal. So when presidents leave office, for ages now, what they often do is they have some sort of memorial building made for them, like a library often. Right, going back to Kennedy or even before, they'll have some sort of, or Truman, did FDR have one? Truman, I think from Truman onwards, one of the things the state does for a president after they leave office is there'll be some sort of memorial building. Trump's one, I mean, they all do it. Trump's one's going to be some sort of big tower. And he was asked about it yesterday. He's not sure whether it's going to be offices or a hotel or what. Trump said, I don't want it to be a library. All the others do that. I do that. I'm not interested in that. We'll make it... Because Obama's one, he built it in Chicago. And it's like really, really over budget. And anyway. Trump says he's going to build this big tower, and in the foyer of it, he wants a full-size mock-up of... Would that be full-size? I don't know. Anyway, he wants, I think, a full-size mock-up of Air Force One, like in the atrium, in the lobby of it, like that. I think that's just an artist's impression of it, of what it would look like, but... There you go. All right. Brent crude set for biggest monthly price rise on record as war takes toll. Level breaches $119 a barrel. Let's have a look at the price of crude right now in real time. Oh, $103. Yesterday I told you, didn't I? At like about 7 a.m. British summer time, it was about $112. So it's come down, look, all red, nearly all red there, all coming down. West Texas is up a bit, but still down in the most recent minutes. So look, West Texas is at $101 a barrel, Brent is at $103 a barrel. So higher, you know, above that, what I've told you before, that psychological benchmark of $100 a barrel. But nowhere near all-time highs. Oh, look, there you can see it, just to the right. That green graph dropped off a cliff. Price comes steadily down. Both Brent and Texas, West Texas. Okay. Yep. So obviously the price was different at the time that at the moment when the Financial Times went to print with this, because Trump did a press conference yesterday in the Oval, and he obviously asked all about the war, and he said that he expected that they'll be, the Americans will be finished, will be done and out of the region in 2 or 3 weeks, he said. Not always great to give your enemy like an actual time frame. They just have to hold on till then, and then they win, strategically in their terms. Well, will Israel stop? Will Iran stop? Different question. Probably not. But the Donald says the Americans will be out in 2 to 3 weeks. And that sent the oil price down. And it sent Asian markets, well, all markets, sort of equities markets, back up. Asian markets rebounded strongly off the back of that, and Wall Street. So there you go. There you go. But I suppose at the time of going to print, the FT was still scaremongering about $119 a barrel. All right. I mean, it's volatile, isn't it? That's the thing I keep telling you, it's volatile. It was 119, now it's like 102. So what's that? A sixth of the price fell off in just a few hours. A fifth or a sixth or whatever, you know. Right? Trump rebukes allies over supplies. US fails to rule out Iran invasion. So yeah, still the the possibility of boots on the ground to a limited extent on some of the islands in the Persian Gulf. We'll see. The big ships, right, like the USS Tripoli or the USS Portland or whatever, they will have to sail through the Straits of Hormuz. So if Iran can sort of just rain down missiles and drones, I mean, those ships will have all sorts of air defences and other smaller ships giving them extra air cover and air defence. And whilst they travel through there, you can imagine the skies will be filled with US and Israeli fast jets to try and protect them as much as possible. They probably will be able to protect them from drones, because drones just are very slow, aren't they? Bzzz, 120 mile an hour. That's like a turtle's speed. Very, very, very slow. But a missile, if Iran want to shoot one of their hypersonic missiles, going like Mach 3 or Mach 5 or something, it'd be difficult to defend against that. There's enough of them anyway. Okay, all right. We'll see. We'll see if the US do send a flotilla, an armada, through the Straits of Hormuz up to the top to get to that Karg Island. That's cold now. We shall see. Okay. Get a load of this. Get a load of this one. Hegseth's broker looked at buying into defence fund in lead up to Iran attack. Cheeky SOB. Morgan Stanley. He was a Morgan Stanley broker. If anyone doesn't know, broker is just someone that sits between you, the investor, and the actual buying of the thing, whatever it is. Whether you're buying equities, commodities, bonds, currency, whatever. Right. Broker's essentially a middleman. I worked in brokerage, for a long time. Well, for a while. I know a fair bit all about the world of brokerage. And they take their little cut every time you want to buy or sell something. They take their little cut. Pure parasites. If you can trade for yourself, do it. Don't go through a broker. Screw them. Anyway, Hegseth broker wants to invest in defence funds. Yeah. Naughty. Gross. Like we saw, haven't we, over the last couple of weeks, all sorts of spikes in trading just before events go down, because insider people just know that something's about to happen. Just make money off of it. Dirty. Insider trading. The Daily Mail, utter globalist slop, trying to pretend it's not. Amid fuel crisis, President tells UK, go get your own oil. That wasn't his whole statement, though, was it? It was basically, try and get your own oil if you can. If not, buy it from us. And we'll obviously be like, yeah. As we said, our Navy isn't up to scratch. So, yeah, we'll buy it off you. Cheers. Okay. Trump's taunt exposes a PM without a plan. So the Mail, going with the angle, less outright TDS. Less outright throwing shade at Trump himself and more channeling it back towards Starmer himself. A little bit about Scott Mills. I had their fun dogpiling yesterday. Moved on quite quickly from it, mostly on the front pages. There's a little bit of a remnant of it here. The BBC ignored warnings about DJ Scott Mills a year ago. Okay. The Sun's still going with it because it's sort of sensational, isn't it? It's more, a bit more sensational than just more Donald Trump stuff. Axed DJ sex scandal. Beeb knew about Mills probe. Kept on air despite quiz. A police interview is a quiz. They talk to you like you're an idiot, like you're a little child, don't they? Alright. The Mirror. There's Scott Mills again. Alright. World pays for Trump lunacy. That's how they're characterising it. The whole world is paying for Mr. Trump's lunacy. Bit tedious. I mean, that Iranian regime was a menace, wasn't it? Was it not? It was, wasn't it? It was a complete menace, wasn't it? All right. the world would be better off if Iran had just a much more normal polity and civil society, wouldn't it? In the broadest scheme, in the broadest sweep of history, it's better if there aren't Islamic theocracies controlling large countries. Is that not better for the world? Okay. Just standing for the Donald a tiny bit there. All right. This is oil your fault. Do you get the clever wordplay there? Like, this is all your fault? Like, as if the Donald is, like, blaming the UK for things not going quicker and faster and more efficiently on the military front, for not sending our aircraft carriers, which weren't seaworthy. So, again, right, it's to our shame and discredit that neither of our aircraft carriers were seaworthy, or any real frigates or anything, hardly any. Okay, but that was the case, though. That was the reality in February, and still to this day, right? That just is the case. Okay. What a shame on us, again. Sure. Okay, now, the reality is, though, that we can't send an aircraft carrier. You snap your fingers. You do something history-changing on one Saturday morning and want us to sail an aircraft carrier there, like, that weekend or the next week at the latest. But it's not seaworthy. Even if Starmer did have the political will to do it, which I don't think he did, but even if he did, we couldn't. Again, that analogy of your mate walking down the street. He says, keep firing back, or he runs out of ammo. He's like, give me your gun. You're like, I haven't got a gun on me. If I had a gun, I would very much consider giving it to you right now, or returning fire myself. But I don't have a gun. So don't get annoyed with me that I can't give you a gun right now, because I haven't got one on me. This is the way the Mirror characterises it. President causes straight crisis, then he tells UK to sort out his mess. That's the way they characterise it. I mean, he isn't really asking us to exactly sort it out, is he? But all right, okay. The eye paper. King sent to US on mission to salvage century of friendship. The Donald has always really liked the royal family, the concept of them, and the individual members of it. He, like, thought it was, like, some sort of truly, truly great honour to go to Buckhouse and sit next to the Queen and have a meal with her. Like, that's one of the highlights of his life, or whatever. But, right. And he gets on well with King Charles. I nearly called him Prince Charles again. Gets on really well with King Charles, and he likes the glitz and glamour of it all. Fair enough. So King sent to salvage century of friendship. Palace confirms Charles III's state visit to America minutes after Trump's latest outburst when he tells UK to go get your own oil. Trip is laced with jeopardy for King because of US President's toxic relationship with Starmer and other NATO allies over Iran war. I mean, that is the one... Is it worth this? But is one good thing about having a monarchy, a constitutional monarchy, i.e. he hasn't really got any power, but he is the head of state, right, is that he can do diplomatic things like this. Like, he just sits way above Parliament and the Lords. Right, he sits above government policy, doesn't he? And so he can go and visit the Trump and just be like, even agree with him. Yeah, bloody, well, it's a disgrace, isn't it? The Parliament and Commons. I mean, that is, it's not really, it's almost not worth it, just that, but it can be done. It is like that. Ground invasion possible as oil price climbs and talks stutter. I mean, the oil price isn't climbing. It's come down since yesterday. Since yesterday, it's come down. So... Okay. Boy at centre of sexual offences investigation into BBC star Scott Mills was under 16, police say. I mean, what it looks like, just a tiny 1 minute on Scott Mills, and that's it. He was investigated between 2016 and 2019 before they decided not to go to trial. But the actual offences were supposed to have taken place between 1997 and the year 2000, when he, Scott Mills, was in his 20s. And this child, who was under 16, male child, was under 16. So it might have been like he basically had a boyfriend who was 15 when he was like 23, 25 or something. So still like, still with statutory rape, wouldn't it? Still be paedophilia, homosexual paedophilia. But if he actually, if it was a relation, a historical relationship between like a 15-year-old boy and a bloke in his 20s, mid-20s. And that's putting the nicest possible spin on it. We don't know whether he wasn't actually a consensual relationship, albeit an underage one. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe Scott Mills did something truly, truly monstrous. Truly monstrous, I mean, you know, like against this kid's will. I don't know. No one knows. But seems the younger person in question was under 16, so... Gross. Trump tells Britain, get your own oil. On the same day as King Charles's official visit to the United States is confirmed, President rants at Starmer over energy crisis caused by his own war on Iran, while Defence Chief again ridicules our Navy. Yeah, our Navy's crap. Yeah, we get it. Yeah. Yeah, we're not denying it. We can't deny it. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Like in that analogy, it's like, give me a gun. I haven't got a gun on me. I've got one at home. And it's like, yeah, there's a crap one as well. Yeah, it wouldn't have been any good even if you did bring it. It's like, oh, okay. Okay. Could you have told me you was about to start shooting? Okay. End of special relationship. I don't think there's been a special relationship since the 50s. I really don't. They think it's oil over. It is now. Trump is grumpy. That's so dumb, isn't it? For anyone who's foreign, can I even be bothered to explain? They think it's all over. In 1966, when England last won the World Cup, the Football World Cup, the Soccer World Cup, we was 3-2 up against Germany, West Germany, in the final. And it was right at the end of the game. Some fans were even beginning to run onto the pitch. It was like seconds from the final whistle. And the commentator sees that. The game's still going on. The final whistle hasn't blown. He sees some people starting to run on the pitch. And he says, they think it's all over. And then England scores another goal to make it 4-2. And obviously winning the game. And in the same breath, he goes, they think it's all over, referring to... And then he scores, he goes, it is now! Right, anyone in Britain knows that. It's part of popular consciousness. Everyone in Britain would know that. If you're from Denmark or the United States or whatever, you might not know that. It's just a famous thing if you're British or English. They think it's all over, it is now. Got it? They think it's oil over, it is now. Trump is grumpy. No comma there. They think it's oil over, it is now, Trump is grumpy. What? So dumb. So dumb. All right. There's that new Jaguar car, the woke one, with their crazy woke ad that no one's bought. Well, not no one, but like, I think a few dozen in the whole world have been bought. Because Jag decided to completely rebrand themselves. As something sort of like completely new and like all woke and weird. And they went from selling tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands a year to like none or like a dozen or something. Just completely collapsed, just completely destroyed themselves because they went woke. Go woke, go broke, or whatever the saying is. All right, the Tory graph, there we go. Something about Harry don't care. Or Harry's tried to sue a load of papers again. Okay. Navy not ready for war, says Sea Lord. Yeah. Yeah, we know, yeah. Yeah, obviously, yeah. pressure piles on Starmer to raise defence spending as US mocks ailing armed forces. Yeah. Give me your gun, bro. Hand me your gun. It's at home. Yeah, and it's really crap one, isn't it? It barely works. It's like a pea shooter anyway, isn't it? It's like a tiny little 2-2, and like it keeps jamming, doesn't it? It's like, you just asked me... Yeah, it's not a great gun yet. Okay. All right, that's the front pages. That's the front pages. All right, should we have a look at our poll? Hair, bring up my poll. Engage, make it so. Little Harry. Boom, here we go. We asked, are you interested in the Artemis 2 crewed mission to the moon? Bit disappointing, really. Still a win. 66% of you say yes, 34% of you say no. I'm fascinated by it. It's one of the greatest things that's happened in my lifetime, I would say. James Webb's telescope is the best thing that's ever happened in my lifetime, I would say. This is probably the second best to me. Only 66%. To you, those 66%, you're my people. Boom, brilliant. The other 34%, get out. Go on, get out. You're not welcome here. This isn't the morning show for you. Don't go. I was joking, dude, bro. I was joking. Don't go. I still love you. We can make this work. Come on. I didn't mean it. Please stay. Now, I would have hoped for more than that. So the question is, are you interested in it? To say no, just no. Nope, not interested in that. Next. It's like one of the greatest achievements of all humanity in the last 50 years, in the last half decade. You're not interested in it at all? All right, still. Still, 66 to 34, if that was a national referendum, you'd claim an overwhelming victory, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? So, okay. I'd hoped it would be in the 80s or 90s. So. All right. Let's have a look at the websites. It's already 22. Let's have a quick whip through the website, shall we? We'll talk about Artemis 2. That 34% of you that are not interested in it. I'm going to talk about it for a minute or two. Because it's happening today. In fact, should we just go straight to it? Get it out of the way for that 34% of you. It's happening today. We haven't been to the moon since, what, 1972? Is it 1973? 1972, I think. Gene Cernan. Last dude to step on the moon, was it? 1972, I believe. And we're going back to the Artemis 2 mission. I've got a picture. Skidoosh. There we go. That's the space launch system. That's the modern equivalent of the Saturn V. It's massive. That's like bigger than Big Ben. Well, you can see the tower there. What is it like? 12, 15 stories tall. That tiny bit there is where the four humans are going to go. It's going to fly to the moon. 5 days there, 5 days back. What, 400,000 kilometers or whatever, 250,000 miles. Just fly around the moon, slingshot around the moon, not going to land on the moon, that's not until Artemis 4, this is Artemis 2, come back, just to proof of concept, make sure we can do that first, like Apollo 8, Apollo 11 was the one that landed on the moon first, if you believe that. Well, they got up to Apollo 16, was it 17? Anyway, Apollo 8 did this in like 1968, Christmas 1968. Apollo 8 did this mission. Just slingshot around the moon and come back. Go around the dark side of the moon. So that's what they're going to do. It's going to take off today. With weather permitting, at some point between, something like 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock in the afternoon Florida time today, which is like between 11, half 11 and half 1 in the morning British time. So, wherever you are. Again, weather permitting. If there's too high winds or it starts raining or there's a thunder storm or something, then they'll put it off, they'll put it back. If there's a last-minute fueling problem, not unheard of, far from unheard of, it'll be put back. But if all goes well, if there's a good weather window, later today, again, 6 or 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern, okay, Florida time. They'll light the candle. And we'll be going back to the moon. Humans will be. And look, there's the crew in the blue there. Four people. Is there a picture of them? Look, there you go. That's the commander dude. So they're sending a commander, a black dude, a woman, and a Canadian. A Canadian. Okay. He's the pilot, he's the commander, and these are two other people. All right. there'll be a couple of records. The geometry, the orbit they're going to take around the moon, if you believe it's all real, is actually a wider, bigger orbit than Apollo 8 ever did, or any of the Apollo missions. So they'll actually be going further away from the Earth than any other humans have ever been. It's like a higher orbit around the dark side of the sun, dark side of the moon. So they will be going further away from the Earth than anyone ever. And when they come back, they'll be entering the Earth's atmosphere at the fastest speed anyone has ever attempted to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere, like 25,000 miles an hour. Hope the heat shields hold, of course. That'll be the most dangerous bit of the mission, by far. It's the re-entry bit. Okay, I wish them good luck. I'm interested in it, fascinated by it. I think it's amazing. I think it's brilliant. I think it's... I haven't really got the words. I think it's amazing if they do it and they pull it off. To even try it is stupendous to my mind. Wonderful. A wonderful thing for all of humanity. Thank you, NASA, for spending the money and the time on it. Wonderful. All right. I'll be watching that. There was a story. Yeah, look at this. Clapham, place in London, Clapham security guards tells of moment he was forced to lock customers inside store as mobs of feral youths, that's how they're describing it, mobs of feral youths run wild after Met Police warned of Easter holiday link-ups. There you go. I think on The Sun, they also had a bit of this. There we go. Street chaos. Dozens of hooded youngsters. That's how they're describing them. Not feral youths. Hooded youngsters. On high street shops as cops rush to scene. Let's call it what it is. It's the black kids. Oh, is that racist to have noticed? Is that racist to have eyeballs and notice? That it's all black kids, 99%. You'll see the odd white face in there. That'd be 99% plus giant mobs of black kids running amok. Mass theft and civil unrest. For no reason, nothing sparked it off. There was no George Floyd killing, right? There was no Rodney King beating. Nothing. They just decided they were going to do it and did. Oh, you think it's a unique thing? It's just a one-off, crazy, random... No. Relatively common. Relatively. Number of times. You're not allowed to notice they're all black kids. No? Just going to call them hooded youngsters. Yeah? Just call them feral youth. All right. That's Britain now. That's Britain. Brilliant. Brilliant. All right, was there something? There was something in the Express I thought was of mild interest, was there? Oh yeah, this. Brits urged to mask up as new cicada COVID variant set to become dominant in UK. No, I'm not masking up. No, I'm not doing it. If it's something extremely, extremely, terribly lethal, like AIDS becomes airborne or Ebola becomes airborne, okay. But no, it's just the flu. It's just a cold or whatever. No, I'm not masking up. I'm not wearing that stupid nappy thing on my face again. No. I'm not doing that. No. Go screw yourself. All right. The New York Times, the New York Slimes. Trump says US will be out of Iran within 2 to 3 weeks. Okay. Trump claims he halted nuclear threat from Iran I thought he did that with Midnight Hammer last summer, no? Despite evidence to contrary, says the New York Times. New York Times got a reporter on the ground, have they, in Iran, double-checking the Iranian nuclear facilities. Okay. All right. Trump seeks to redefine regime change in war against Iran. Yeah, one of the things he said yesterday, he said the regime has been changed. That's sort of, well, I mean, that's his angle now. That's what he's saying, in the sense that all the leadership, or more or less nearly all the leadership that were in place at the beginning of this thing, they're all gone now. They're dead. So in that sense, or even like the next tier down, they're all gone. A lot of the next tier down, they're all gone. So in that sense, the regime has changed. Okay, in that sense, fine. But the actual, you know, in the true sense, it hasn't changed though, has it? Because it's still a continuation of that, those Ayatollahs from 1979, and the continuation of that regime hasn't changed. So again, classic politician's thing of just changing the exact meaning of words, trying to re-spin what you said before to make it all line up and make sense perfectly. But okay, he also said look, we're gonna get out of Iran in the next 2 or 3 weeks with or without a deal. So there you go. All right. Quick look at Le Monde, the French newspaper, with everything that's going down in France, in a worse state, in some ways, you could argue, than Britain and Germany, sort of demographically, and everything that's going on in the world. The state of France, the terrible, terrible sectarian nightmare France is staring down the barrel of. Le Monde has a story about cheetahs in Somaliland. The trade in cheetahs between Africa and Arabia. There you go. All right. Shall we have a look at this day in history? What happened on this day in history? It's now 10:02. Should do that for the last bit of the show. What happened on April Fool's Day down through the centuries of note? April the 1st. Let's have a look. Okay. On this day in 527 AD, Byzantine Emperor Justin I names his nephew Justinian I as co-ruler and successor to the throne. So as I've mentioned a few times on epochs. Harry? There you go. On epochs. My history theme show behind the paywall on lotuslotus.com. Do consider becoming a member for as little as £5 a month. Bronze tier membership. On that show and on my own channel, History Bro, when it's all free there. Got a fair amount of content. Talk about Justinian the Great, Justinian I, a number of times, and his general, his generalissimo Belisarius, all sorts of stuff, the Nicae riots, whole long form thing, just about the Nicae riots. Justinian I, completely pivotal, massively fascinating and important Eastern Rome, Byzantine Roman emperor in the 6th century, Justinian I. On this day, his uncle, Justin, names him co-ruler. So Justin was just a general. He was never in like the royal family line of succession. And he'd come from nothing. His father was like a complete peasant, literally just like a sheep herd or something. Justin joins the army, the Roman army, Eastern Roman army, rises up to become general. There's some sort of complete chaos, political chaos and military coup. Only finds himself emperor out of nowhere. Justin the First, out of nowhere, becomes the ruler of Byzantium, the Eastern Roman Empire. And where he's old and infirmed, he decides he's going to name a co-ruler his nephew. And thus Justinian I enters the world, the stage of history. Brilliant stuff. Okay, on this day in 1748, the ruins of Pompeii are discovered by a Spaniard. I've been there a couple of times, is it? Amazing Pompeii, just outside Naples, in Italy, of course, just outside Naples, little town on the foothills of Mount Vesuvius in the ancient world. What is it, during the reign of Nero, is it 79 AD, is it, 78, 79 AD, I should know exactly, anyway, Mount Vesuvius erupts in the ancient world, completely covers this town of Pompeii in pumice and ash. Completely covers it. Meters deep. Meters. And yeah, in the late 18th century, it's sort of rediscovered, and ever since then, it's been excavated. In fact, there's still a big portion of it unexcavated. A big portion. There's like a bit of a modern Italian town on it. Anyway, if you're even remotely interested in history, particularly Roman era history, if you've got any sort of historical imagination, visit it. And Herculaneum, there's another place even closer to Vesuvius called, well, in the modern Italian, Herculano, but the ancient Roman was Herculaneum. Equally as fascinating. You can walk around ancient Roman streets, basically. Go into ancient Roman houses. Crazy. There's still, like, graffiti on the walls and stuff. Mad. You walk through an ancient Roman house, a real one. Walk out into their back garden, their little portico they've got or whatever. See the little fountain they've got. Walk through the streets. There's an amphitheatre there. It's, mind-blowing. Any history nerd, mind-blowing. Couldn't recommend it enough. It's totally worth it. There's a few places in the world that they say, go to that, go see that, it's great, it's famous, da da da. You get there and it's really underwhelming. For me, Pompeii is not underwhelming. It lives up to the hype and then some, for me. All right, let's move on. Could talk about Pompeii all day. On this day, in 1948, the Big Bang Theory, not the show, the actual theory, proposed in the scientific journal Physical Review, is first put forward by a few different cosmologists. The Big Bang. There you go. Interesting. I was watching a video just the other day that said the big crunch might happen. Instead of space expanding forever, some recent, which is like the consensus, and then there'll just be like entropy and the heat death of the universe eventually. It'll just keep expanding into darkness and nothing forever. One theory saying some new research to do with dark energy and dark matter might mean that in a few billion years more, dark energy and dark matter, which they think is responsible for the expansion of the universe, might lose its battle ultimately against gravity. Gravity will win, and there'll be a big crunch, take another few billion years, but then the whole universe will come back down into a tiny singularity again, and over and over and over. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe God made it all in 6 days. On this day in 1974, the Ayatollah Khomeini calls for an Islamic Republic in Iran. Notice 1974, so 5 years before it actually happened. On this day in 1976, Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs found Apple computer in the garage of Jobs' parents' house in California. Okay, Stevie Jobs and the Woz. On this day in 2001, the Netherlands becomes the first country in the world to make same-sex marriage legal. Did they? Well done. All right. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Let's have a look. We've got quite a few Rumble Rants, so I'll quickly whip through them because it's very nearly 9. All right, let's do that so I can read them. St. Luke 91, Luke Stewart, says, G'day, Bo. Getting ready to drive down to Armadale, a single little 5.5-hour drive for an Easter event, about 100 or so Viking warriors running around a pine forest. Lovely. Sounds great. I love that sort of thing. Battle reenactments and all that stuff. I'm not into it like myself, personally, getting dressed up and taking part, but going to that sort of thing. Or going to like a medieval fair and there's guys dressed up as like medieval knights, actually on horseback. You know, stuff like that. Love it. Yeah, yeah. A Viking warrior one. Wicked. Cool. Okay. 14 Barber says, Morning, Bo. All right? Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks. Cheers. Cheers, geez. I agree we should get our own oil from the North Sea. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's crazy that we ever. It's people like Ed Miliband, isn't it? Crazy environmentalists told us that the burning of fossil fuels was somehow wrong and bad. Not that that drives up CO2 and that drives climate change to a catastrophic degree. It's all just not true, is it? It's nonsense. Yeah, we should never have stopped drilling large scale in the North Sea. You're quite right. Start by buying from Canada, US or Norway while we get tapping our own. We shouldn't rely on others all the time. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Should be, that sort of thing should be a statement of just sort of undeniable, should be undeniable, shouldn't it? Of course. Kasa Dwan said, the Islamic Republic is a bad regime, but being a slave to Israel and destabilising the region is also bad. Britain is weak, but the US effectively made that happen in World War II. Too long, didn't read, it's complex. Yeah. Yeah. The United States, ever since World War I, was looking to cripple and dismantle the British Empire. We're a rival to be world hegemon. All right. St. Luke again. To be honest with Iran, the only way to deal with them, the US needs to find a way to arm the populists so they can have a little viva revolution against the Islamic Republic. Yeah. Trump just didn't seem up for that, did he? When the Kurds in the north were making some noises, perhaps that they could give us some help, give us some air cover, bro. He was like, no. All right, that's how we wanted to play it. And I think he just wanted to be out of there relatively quickly. He didn't want a forever war. He actually doesn't want to be the forever war guy. Okay. Luke again says, with this whole autism, ADHD thing, in Australia, the only way a white man could get any government assistance is if they are disabled. I could see when they're putting a lot of white kids on it. Okay. Yeah. Endlessly hand out to minorities, but not the indigenous, not the white population. Okay. St. Luke again, because until I was diagnosed on the spectrum, I got no help from the government as got diagnosed. I was given help which allowed me to get the job I have as a support worker helping other people. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you got support for it. Good. Excellent. Rick TWGP says, it's £8.63 for a gallon of diesel, which is around $11.50. I'm self-employed, mate, and it's killing me. Well, sorry to hear that. Yeah, diesel worst affected, right? Diesel's up way more than petrol as a percentage of what it was at the start of the war. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. What else can I say? I do empathise. £8.60 a gallon. It's not in line with how much a barrel of crude has gone up, is it? Like, that's way more than the barrel of crude has gone up, isn't it? All right. Luke says, to be honest, I don't really trust Trump with timetables. He never really sticks to them. He says he won't bomb you for 2 days and then he bombed you next day. I kind of like the unpredictability. Yeah, when it comes to military matters like that, that's deliberately part of the calculation, isn't it? Very much so. Like, particularly, I remember that Midnight Hammer mission. We said, we're going to look at it in the next 2 weeks. We're going to make some sort of decision. Then it was like the next day. Very, very deliberate, isn't it? Very, very deliberate. And fair enough, it's fair game. In love and war, there's not really any rules, are there, really? You do whatever you need, to what you think you need to do to win. Okay, two more from Luke says, don't forget Iran also funds a lot of terrorist organisations and on oil, most countries are like ours, decided let's be green and not produce our own. Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't deny it. Some people say that it's not true, it's a lie that Iran has exported terror around the region and around the world. I don't think so. I think there's plenty of evidence that they have. And finally, Luke says, the next poll should be, who do you think is going to collapse first, Iran or Cuba? He's not been looking for them, if you believe all the news coming out, as some people don't. Right, yeah, interesting. Cuba. Cuba's next on Hegseth and Rubio's list, isn't it? Seems to be. And Trump's list does seem to be. All right, the YouTube things, Harry, you have to do that for me. Engage. Okay, there they are. Okay, only a few. We had more Rumble Rants than Super Chats today. This only happens once or twice. That's quite rare. All right, so the Super Chats. Global Church History, in at number one, and still. The reigning, defending, undisputed global church history says, today, 1979, Ayatollah Khomeini became supreme leader. Oh, that's interesting. So in 1974, he calls for a revolution and, what, exactly 5 years later to the day, becomes a supreme leader, if global church history is right. And I've got absolutely no doubt that he is. Interesting. Exactly 5 years to the day. Okay, cool. Well, interesting. Not that cool, but interesting. Okay. Sam Jones Sour Team. Sam Jones Our Team. Sam Jones Our Team says, for a fair bit of money there, thank you then for that super chat, says, thank you for all you do for us band of brothers and sisters. Please mention the state of politics. State of politics. Have a fantastic day. Thank you. Oh, you want us to mention the state of politics? Mine and Nate's show. In fact, go to Disdain Cam, Harry. What's that? State of politics. It's another channel I've got with Nate, Mr. H Reviews, all about politics on YouTube. Check it out. Subscribe. Like and subscribe. Hit the bell. Like and subscribe to this channel. I don't say that enough. Like and subscribe to this channel if you haven't already and hit the bell. And History Bro. Okay. Thanks for the super chat there. Lovely stuff. Okay. The Shadowling one says, I am of the opinion that ADHD and autism diagnose became the replacement for attending private school for the lower middle class in order to access SEN schooling. I don't know what SEN schooling is. What's SEN schooling? Do you just mean good school? I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what SEN schooling is. SEN schooling, sorry. But the other point you make is funny. Starting when Blair made fees taxed. Okay, yeah. I honestly think that ADHD and autism are overdiagnosed. I might be wrong. I'm not a doctor. I'm not claiming to be a doctor. Would never do such a thing, but that's just what it feels like to me. Okay. Stedman Wheelis, I hope I've read that right, says, very good early morning from Texas. Good morning, sir. Happy to finally catch a morning show. Bow the content, Chad. The only one worth staying up for. Cheers, buddy. I'm the best of the Spice Girls. Blatantly. Come on. Blatantly. Thank you for that money, though, from Texas. Lovely stuff. So Jukes149 says, I'm not a massive space geek, but yes, Artemis 2 is big. They are not leaving Earth's gravity, but they will be in the moon's gravity well for a bit. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're not going completely. Well, no, they are leaving Earth's gravity, aren't they? They are. In between the moon. Because it's a long way. It's like a quarter of a million miles, isn't it? In between they are, but. Well, okay. Maybe not the Earth's gravitational entirely its influence. Okay, in that sense. Okay, you're right. But, okay. There's different shades, aren't there? Right, well, we'll move on. Okay, and the last one. Oh, the Shadowling has very quickly just said that SEN schooling means special educational needs. Okay, got it. So, in order to get special educational needs, you have to get a diagnosis first. I see what you're saying. Okay, great. All right, that's the show. It's now ticked 7 minutes past nine in the AM, British summertime, on the 1st of April, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You have been the glorious band, the chosen few, the very best among us, for joining me. You can't do better than that. Can't get a better start to your day than tuning in to Bo's Breakfast Club. Breakfast with Bo. Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC. Thank you for tuning in. Great stuff. Thank you. Really. Can't say it enough. Can't express to you how sincerely it's meant as well. Just can't. All right. Well, until tomorrow morning then, do try and make the best of the day ahead. You've only got it once. You'll only have this day once in your life. Your time is the most valuable thing you've got. Don't waste it if you can. All right. If you can, try and do something valuable with it. Don't want to get too preachy. So until tomorrow morning then, take care.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.